Hi, it's Monday afternoon. I'm hopping around on Labor Day to get as many as I can out of the way. And let's take a look at the Haftorah this week of a Parshis Ki Tsetse, the famous Isaiah 54, as we all know, right? Roni Akor Lo Yolodo. So, you know, sing you childless woman that's supposed to be Eretz Yisrael. This is being sponsored by Mishpachas Khan, by Chaim Khan and family. And Zecher Nishmas, his mom who passed away not long ago. Chava Bas Aaron Alevi, Shem Shabbat Aliyah, and I see she left quite a legacy. So pay tribute to her memory. In the Haftarah this week, you have the glorious prediction of Messianic era. That's why it's part of the seven Shibbon and Achemta. Oh, you know, sing you barren woman who never bore a child before. Shout for joy, you who are never in labor. Right, because Rabin B'nei Shamim Nei Be'ula, right? That, you know, the children of the desolate woman are more than that of one who has a husband. I will call your attention to the second part, where it says, something like that, which of course means enlarge your tent and make it bigger and so forth. You know, comparing Israel to a tent is very interesting because a tent can be adjusted, right? Right? Can to be adjusted, so you can make it wider. Just pull out the pegs and move them farther. Whereas a physical country can't be expanded, or at least let's put it this way, you don't think so. But he's and the point that the Navi's making over here is that the future Israel will be bigger than the current one. You can interpret that literally, you can interpret that, you know, spiritually. But the truth of the matter is the Jewish tradition has always taken that literally. What can I tell you? And therefore, what does it mean? In other words, let's put it this way. So where is the Israel of tomorrow? If it doesn't include only Israel itself today, the territory they call the State of Israel in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, okay? So what else? Okay? And, you know, in other words, is that really so? Israel will annex territory, expand, or something like that? And the answer is in the Jewish tradition, yes. Okay? So in the Chumash, you don't even realize it. And this is generally associated with what we call the land of the Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni. If you go back to the, who was it? The Brisbane of Sarm, I guess, right? You know, all the way back to what does Hashem say? You know, Bayamu Kars Hashem, Sabram Brisley Mola Zarcho, Nosati Zar, Zuzman Har Mitzrayim, and Nahor Hagadol Nahar Pros. From the river of Egypt, let's assume that that's not the Nile. Let's assume that that's, you know, like El Arish. Something like that, like the Sinai Desert to the Euphrates River. What's that? Esa Keni, this is the Pasuk. Esa Keni, Besa Kenizi, Besa Kadmoni, Besa Chiti, Besa Prozi, Besa Rafoim, Besa Amori, Besa Kanani, Besa Gergoshi, Besa Yavusi. That's 10 nations, okay? So, and it goes back to Bris Min Avazar. Lazarach Atenus Arzazos. And, you know, Rashi says, let's put it this way. We talk about the seven Ummah, Zion, Amin, and Canaan, of course. But that's, you know, that's in Moshe's time. But in the future, it'll be 10. Right? As Rashi says, it's a Keni Eser Ummah Yeshkan. B'lo Nasal HaMel HaShiva Goyim. B'ashlosha Edom Mo V'Amon. Heim Keni Kenizi V'Kadmoni. Asim L'Yos Yerushalasim. So this is the idea that what is described as the borders of Israel in Chumash, which is an amount of land the Jews never did take over, because that's the story, as we all know, in time of Yoshua, and afterwards they never conquered all that area. Some areas they did, some areas they didn't. I would say central Israel, they eventually did. As I said many times, you look in Yushalmi and Nechala, and it said in the time of Yoram II, they finished off the last of those bubbles, as I always call them. If you look at a map of Eretz Yisrael, at the time of Yeshua, or after Yeshua, in time of Shoftim, let's say, for example, you see a bunch of bubbles, meaning you see the territories of the 12 tribes, like you can Google and look at a color map of that at any time, but they won't show you the fact that this area was not conquered and that area was not conquered. So it's a little bit like Israel today, in which the Jews are there, but so were many people not Jewish. And just as happened in time of Sisera, the non-Jewish may rise to large numbers and try to wipe us out. And, you know, in other words, it's problematic. So history kind of repeats itself, as we all know. But again, that means that the history of the Jewish people, or maybe I should say the destiny of the Jewish people, is one in stages, in which in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were talking about seven nations, which even that they didn't do. For example, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, that is to say, time of Yeshua, and afterwards, they never took over the Gaza Strip. They never took over Lebanon. I've talked about this in the past. If you look at the map and draw the map the way it's described, they go from this place to that place, like in Matas Mase, you'll see there's a lot of land the Jews never did, you know, get to. Okay? So, in addition to that, there's like another stage later on in Jewish thought. And at some other stage, post-Moshe Rabbeinu, they'll take over more land. What exactly is the Kani Kenizi Kadmoni that they're referring to in our Haftorah today, which is obviously messianic in nature? Harchivi Makom Olech, Virus Mishkan Asech, you know, Yatu Al Tachsochi, spread the tent wider and wider. That's another way of saying that the Jewish territory will expand beyond what you and I typically call Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Let me tell you something. The non-Jews know this. The Arabs sure know this. And that's why they will say all the time that the Jews today in 2025, ever since 1948, or the Zionist movement, if you want to call it that way, has plans to take over Syria, for example. You know, Lebanon and Syria. To take you all the way up to the Euphrates River. And things like that. Okay? If you go on some kind of anti-Israel website, anti-Jewish website, and Google Maps, they'll show you different ideas that they have about the greater Israel of tomorrow, which include this and that and the other thing. And it's not exactly without foundation, meaning it's not something for now, but it's associated with Yemos HaMashiach. Okay? Unless you're one of these Israeli messianic type guys, and you say it's now. But, you know, very few say that. Very few. So, I repeat. The Pasuk says, I'm going to give you Kani, Kenizi, Kadmoni, Asachiti, Aprizi, Ayurfoim, and Mori, Kanani, Girgashi, Yibusi. And I assume that the Chiti and the Girgashi, Yibusi is not identical with the stuff they already took over in Canaan. So, we have a territorial expansion. If you look at Yonas and Abishus, obviously Yonas, he said there'll be a spiritual expansion in Shemaim to equal the physical expansion, so there'll be a qualitative difference in the way Baruch Shalom runs the world. But this idea that what we see today ain't the whole business, and even the biblical Eretz Yisrael, which include Eva Yardin, is not the whole business, it's an old idea. The only thing is, you know, what exactly does it include? Okay, and naturally, when you go into Gemara, they're all over the place, as is usually. The Gemara, of course, you will perhaps remember, those are the Daf Yomi people. Like in Baal Basra in the middle, it says, Kol Shira HaKadosh Baruch LeMoshe Chai B'Meiser. That whatever Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu before he died, that's Meiser, the Chai B'Meiser. Lafuki Mai, and what does it not include? In other words, what lands did Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's standing just before his death on Har Nevo looking out, what is it that he doesn't see? And the answer is he didn't see the future Israel. He saw the Israel of his time. Okay, which is interesting. And it says, Lafuki Kani Kani Kadmoni. Moshe did not see this extra territory of Kani, Kenizi, and Kadmoni. What's that? Rameyomer Naftocha Arba of Shalmoa. Rameyomer Har Soir Amenemov. And Shimba Yochai says, Ardiscus Asi of Aspamia. Now, depends how you want to interpret what these places are. When I see Asi and Aspamia, Asi usually means Asia Minor, Turkey. Israel's going to include all of Turkey one day? Aspamia usually means Spain. Ardiscus, I don't know what it is. Now, now we're entering the area of the Wissenschaft des Judentums, where scholars of geography try to identify these Talmudic expressions. And, you know, if you look in Steinsaltz or something like that, I'm serious. You'll see, he said, well, Asia really means like a certain place in Syria. And Aspamia also is in, like in northern Syria. An artist kiss, I don't think he knows either what it is. And the idea generally would be, as I would describe it, that there are at least two schools of thought on this. One is a very expansive one, and one is a less expansive, more minimalistic one. The expansive one would say, in Hanami, Turkey, Spain, what the heck, you know? Go for it, baby. maybe all the Mediterranean. I don't know. The minimalist one would say Syria. That the future Israel will include Syria and Lebanon, to use modern terminology. Okay? Because if you do Syria and Lebanon, then that takes you up to the Euphrates River. And it's contiguous to Israel, of course. And that would actually be a nice-sized country. In other words, if you tell me you're talking about the future Israel will be the current Israel and the territories and Jordan and Syria and Lebanon, it's not as big as America. It might not even be as big as Texas, for all I know. Certainly it's not as big as Texas and California. But it's pretty big, okay? It's a ganze gesunte piece of karka. And that's what Yeshayahu is saying. And you'll tell me, how will it be peopled? You know, as he says over here, Rani Akara lo yolada, that the Akara, the childless one, will always have a lot of children. Which I've told you in the past might mean that a lot of people discover their Jewish identity through the DNA and other kind of stuff. And they'll join the Jewish people, which is their true identity. Very vase. You know, I'm simply showing you that in the Jewish tradition, in the mainstream Jewish tradition, not some marginal Zach, this idea is out there that Eretz Yisrael today, even the Eretz Yisrael that would include the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, is by no means the ganze business. Okay? Now, by the way, if you go like Remeir, Naftoch, Arba, Salma, these are places like in the Negev. So it's interesting that the modern state of Israel includes so far, if the Bedouins don't take over, includes the Negev, which is really used to be part of Edom. And so according to the opinion, it's going to be, you know, something like Edom, Moab, and Ammon, Harseir, Moab, and Ammon. Well, we're not holding by Harseir, because that's on the other side of the Jordan River, but that whole area adjacent to Israel is supposed to be part of some large Israel in the future. Okay? Another main reason for this, and making this a mainstream notion, is the fact that it says by the Ari Miklat that, as we all know, there's three Ari Miklats on the Avar Yarden, and there's three on the, you know, east bank, I guess, the west bank of the Yarden, meaning what we call Israel today. So three in Jordan, as we say today, and three in Israel, okay? But the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, I think that's how it goes, that if God will expand you, this is Moshe Rabbeinu talking, or maybe it's Hashem talking to Moshe, in Bamidbar, whatever. If Hashem will expand your borders as He promised, then you'll add another three Ari Miklats for the new territory. So it'll be nine, and not six. Currently, we understand that there were six, as Betzer by Gilad and Ramos Gil and whatever. You know, whatever it says in the Chumash, the three on Jordan and three on the Israel side. But to be another three, that I'll add another three in addition to the ones that are already out there. And so in the expanded greater Israel, if you want to call it that, it would be, you know, nine cities. And many, starting with the Rambam, as far as I know, maybe he's not the only one, refer to this as one of his proofs. Sort of scholastic proofs, the truth of the messianic idea, because the Rambam, of course, is aware that the Chumash never talked about a Mashiach specifically, but in a kind of indirect way, he does, because if you go to the Rambam at the very end of the Mishnah Torah, in the chapter 11, the Hilchos Malachim, he says famously, HaMelcha Mashiach Osid Lamus L'Achzer Malchus Beis Ovel Yashna, the Mashiach will bring back the Malchus Beis David, Mem Shal Rishona, Bona Beis HaMikdash, to go back to keeping all the Torah laws, all the Tariq mitzvahs, which will apply in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't believe in the Mashiach, if you don't expect him at any minute, he's not only kofer on the Nevi'im, because the Nevi'im not exactly directly, but almost directly, speak about the Mashiach. El Batorah Moshe Rabbeinu. It's in the Chumash. This is a point the Rambam wants to hammer home. And the Messianic idea is in the Chumash. Aye, it's not. Shari HaTorah Heidu Leimor Shav Hashem HaShavuscha V'richamcha V'shav HaKibetzcha Im Yedeh B'dachah B'ktzei HaShamayim V'evichah Hashem HaLekecha. So there's in, you know, Vayelech, wherever it is, it says a time will come when you do tshuva, and then God will bring you back and all the rest of it. That's in the future. V'ildrum for Rosh HaMatorah Kolm Koldrum Shalim Dvim. And these words they have in the Torah, like God will circumcise the foreskin of your heart and things like that, they're all mentioned in the Nevi'im at greater length. And by Parshas Bilam, the Rambam goes on to say, Shamni b'mishnei Mashichim, that Bilam is like clearly referring to two messiahs, Mashiach number one, Mashiach number two. That is to say, Mashiach Harishon, Shehu David, Shehizim Mitzazraim, King David, Mashiach Shamni Mibanev, and the Mashiach that you and I call the Mashiach, who will appear later, because it says, Erenu v'lo ato, Asherenu v'lo karov. So Erenu v'lo ato is David, and Asherenu v'lo karov is the Mashiach. Darach kocha miYaakov, that's David. Kam shevim Yisrael, that's Melchim Mashiach, and so forth and so on. Now, to be perfectly honest, that's a stretch. Okay? I'm not sure why the Rambam did that. That's a stretch, because you could interpret it differently. And to say it's black and white, that Darach kocha miYaakov kam shevim Yisrael, versus the two messiahs, you know, whatever. But the Rambam's sort of clawing to find Chumash proofs. There's a Mashiach thing because a lot of people apparently were skeptical about the idea of Mashiach. Now, but then the Rambam goes on, and many people don't get to this part, in Perek Yud Alef Halacha Beis in Hilchos Melachim, and he says, Af Ba'ari Miklat, here, he says, I'll give you another proof from the Chumash that the story's not over, there'll be a Messianic era. And this, by the way, is a good proof. Because it says, that if God adds land to Israel, in other words, if he adds Syria and Lebanon to Israel, then he'll add, it says in the Chumash, another three are in Miklats, that it, this never happened in Jewish history. In other words, there never was a time when we had nine Ari Miklats. So in other words, there never was a time when Syria was mamish annexed to be part of Eretz Yisrael. The conquests of King David don't really count because that was a vassalage. That's a whole schmooze by itself. Plus, it was very temporary. But if you're talking about land that's literally added to Israel, because part of the Jewish polity, so it hasn't happened yet. And Hashem, who said, I'm telling you about the extra three cities, he doesn't talk for nothing. If Hashem talks about this, right, in the Chumash, I tell you, then, what do you call it? It's going to come true one day, okay? It must be talking about lossy level, you know. I will bedivrei hanavim ain't dover tzarech ra'ay shekol ra'ay. Ram says, I don't even have to talk about the Nevi'im because they're full of messianic stuff. But the Chumash, you have to look a little more closely. Me, myself, and I think that's a better proof than the other things we're trying to read that into the prophecies of Bilam and all that kind of business, right? Because if it's there for a reason, it's there for a reason, and if it hasn't happened yet, then it will happen one day. So I'm simply trying to get across to you, when our ancestors read this prophecy in Yeshayahu, and he says, Archivi makom olech v'yirich b'yos mishkanai zasech, you know, te'yatu atach sochi. So, I mean, it's based on what I just said. There's an old Jewish idea that Eretz Yisrael ain't done yet, and the borders of Eretz Yisrael don't constitute the totality of all the future borders of Eretz Yisrael. And believe you me, I'm sure many people that I'm saying this to in the podcast are probably not really aware of what I just said, because even though we notice in general, you read the Pesukim about Keni and Kenizi and Kadmoni, but I don't think people usually give much thought to it. You know, it's a Pesukim, you say Rashi, whatever. I don't give much thought to it. The Arabs sure as heck do that. They are very well aware of this. And therefore, they say that the Zionist plan is to expand and take over Syria and Lebanon. And I'm sure they're saying this over time right now as we speak, with all the events that are going on in Syria, because as a result of the current event, and I'm not saying they're messianic, the Israeli army is in Syria today, in southern Syria. And according to some interpretations, Salmoa is identical with southern Syria, like the Druze area. And, you know, you could make the argument that Israel is intervening on behalf of the Druze as part of a grand plan to one day take over the whole country and add it to Israel. In other words, let me put it this way. And this is very much on the Arab mind. You see it in their all their propaganda. But they mean it sincerely. Suppose, as is the case, and I know if you're listening to podcasts, most of you follow the news, more or less. The Druze right now, many of them in southern Syria, which is Salmoa or Naftocha, one of these places, are basically saying, we want to be part of Israel. We would like Israel to annex us, because that's the only way we can be safe against the jihadists who are coming to wipe us out, men, women, and children. Which is the truth. The jihadists, the ISIS guys, and the people that work for, what's the guy's name, the head of Syria now, Ahmed al-Shara, you know, the guy that Trump shook hands with, they are basically saying that, you know, we're shooting the bull, and we're doing whatever we need to do to get a hold of the country. And once we are secure in power in Syria, we'll wipe out all the non-Sunni Muslims. So that means, and they've already started this. I'm not saying anything most of you haven't heard of already. You know that. You follow the news. And for this reason, Israel has on occasion intervened and bombed even the palace of the president of Syria and Damascus and the defense ministry, etc., etc. So the, what's the right word? The immediate reason for that is that Israel feels some kind of connection with the Druze, because the Druze are loyal to Israel, and they want to help that the Druze shouldn't be wiped out. This is complicating Donald Trump's policy, but nevertheless, that's what's happening. And they're not making it up, okay? I mean, they are trying to wipe him out. By the way, I'm looking at the Yerushalmi. Rav Meir says, Salmo, Shibya, Nabatia. Nabatia is the Negev. Rav Shimon, Amr, Asya, Istatia, Damesek. Hear that? Damascus is going to be part of it. Rav Lezer and Yaakov say, Asya, Kartingia, Kartigna, and Viturki. Hear that? Viturki, yes, in Yerushalmi, in Kedushin. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yerushalmi Kedushin Perakalv Halacha Ches. You know, that means Mishnah Ches. So check it out if that intrigues you. All right? So, Turkey. Right? Now, the reason I'm laughing is because there were no Turks in the time of the Mishnah, you know. I mean, they were farther away in the bowels of Asia. Now, you know, they only conquered what you and I call Turkey today. In the Middle Ages. Matter of fact, I think they just had the 1,000 years, son of a gun. The Turks began the serious conquest of what you today call Turkey in 1025, the Battle of Manzikert, when they exterminated the Byzantine army. So I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right? And so it's 1,000 years today. That's when they took over, the Seljuk Turks over the bulk of Asia Minor. And eventually, little by little, they conquered the rest of it. So today it's Echte Turkey, but really they took it away from the Greeks, from the Byzantines. But anyway, you see over here that if the Druze leaders who say we can't trust the Syrians and the Arabs, sooner or later they'll try to wipe us out, which is not false. Therefore, we are publicly waving Israeli flags, and you've seen this in the news. And we say we want to be part of Israel. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, would it hurt Israel to bring in an extra 750,000 or million Druze? Provided that they want to be loyal to Israel, they're better than the Palestinians who want to knock out Israel. So we don't know where this is going to go. I can't really see them necessarily annexing, you know, a chalik over there. But let's say it happens. In other words, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Then that would be a partial business of the Keni Kadmoni and Kenesian Kadmoni. Isn't that funny? And that would be Harchivi Mekom Alech B'Yirich Mishno Sach Tachzoki, the famous prophecy that you have in today's Haftorah. So will we see some kind of fulfillment of this in our time, or in some future time? Verves, how can I possibly know? But if you know a little bit about the fact that I just read you straight from a Rambam, and these are Yerushalmis, and the thing is in Bava Basra 56, there are a fair number of references to the territory that a future Eretz Yisrael, you know, one day. Now, you know how it is in the rabbinic literature. Chayvin Meiser. Here's a good one. It's a machlokas, different mafarshim. Will the Levium be able to inherit land in the new added territories? Unlike Eretz Yisrael, where they don't have any land. They only have Ari Levium. And, all this kind of business. Because in a rabbinic literature, they get into the nitty-gritty of the halacha side. I get that. Or Yadari Miklut business, and so on and so forth. But it's just interesting. It's just interesting. So who knows what the future will bring? And as the Rambam himself says, only when the Mashiach comes will we know how the prophecies all played out. But it is interesting that our Haftarah, like Yeshayahu and Nevuah, is talking about expanding the tent. Expanding the tent. Now, right now, Israel is in such bad shape, we'd be glad with a smaller tent if they just leave us alone. But they won't leave us alone. They'll never leave us alone. So, you know, the conflict will continue. I wish I was wrong, but I don't think I am. And if the conflict continues, then these issues are up for discussion. Anyway, I just want to share that with you. And again, thank Mishpachas Khan. It's, as I said before, Khan Khan's mom, really, like just the other day, they were sitting shit at the same time that with my brother-in-law. It's Chabas, Bazar, and Alebi, and the Shem Shem and Liam. With that, I wish you all a good day.